Welcome to VFN Radio. Good Monday, Monday, Monday. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this Monday to encourage you is John Ramos.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning, John. Also, the producer of VFN Radio program, who rises early in the morning, at least at the crack of 7:55, to put it all together, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
We give a shout out to all of our listeners this Monday. It is December the 3rd. We are a few days away from celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're looking at communities wanting to celebrate him by setting up manger scenes and a few bad tooths and lame legs using the legal system to make them take down manger scenes. We're going to be talking about that in Cottondale Community, Cottondale Elementary School in Cottondale, Florida. Give a shout out to Joanne in New York. I got a good chance to look at Central Park last night. Some video footage. This is a beautiful, beautiful park. And give a shout out to all those in the campaign for Jesus. Be strong, be courageous. Order one more sign. That one, if somebody took it. Bind that devil. Give a shout out to Juan. Juan, my goodness, you're so encouraging what God is doing through your life. Good morning, Najina. Give a big shout out also today, this Monday morning, of our new listeners to the VFN Radio program. We want to welcome you. I just love naming a few of you out there. I want to welcome Sue and Everett and David and another David, David Brown, Donald and Jessica and Joan and Tom and Sally and Steve and Kevin and Timothy and Tammy and Charlie, Lily, George, Paolo, Mike, Nathan, Jim, Bob, Larry, Michonne, James, Casey, Anthony. Oh my goodness. Welcome. Welcome into the virtual stadium of the VFN TV and daily radio program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this Monday to encourage you is John Ramos and Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Here we are, Monday at the crack of almost when the beginning of the program. Trying to avoid that AM, PM thing, since we're heard all around the world in all the different time zones. And so we are in your time zone, you know, an ever-present help by the anointing of Jesus Christ, right?
That's right.
That's right.
My goodness, so many things are going on. I had a chance to look at Central Park. They're having a news interview of somebody who has a very, very nice apartment in New York. House apartments, all apartments really. And but right there over the reservoir, overlooking the parks. Yes, you're right.
Beautiful.
Where Miss Kennedy used to take her jogs around that reservoir. They call it the Kennedy Reservoir or something now. But
wow.
But yeah, it was just beautiful. And it's so beautiful because the contrast, you know, from the concrete, you know what I'm saying? It's good to have a little contrast going on right there. So how was your weekend?
Very good, very good. Busy. I had a chance to take my wife out for her birthday. That was very nice.
So what time did the limousine pick you guys up?
No limousine. No limousine. We borrowed Pat's truck. No, we couldn't borrow Pat's limo, but we went out to have a very, very nice evening for some Cuban food.
I saw him talking to his driver, say, you know, when John asked you for the car, tell him, you know, we got an appointment. Yeah, Cuban. Oh, did you go where we went?
No, we did not go to Cuban Pete's. We went to Mambo Tea House.
We ate a whole pig or something there.
Yeah.
Okay, enough pork. Mambo Tea House.
Yeah, this is great, great little place that we found in Jersey, and it's really best kept secret out there. It's excellent, excellent food, excellent quality, and services. Service is pretty good too. Really good place.
You know, I want to give a shout out to all the Toys R Us. I've been watching Toys R Us. You know, be really,
man,
you know, on the front lines of the advertising campaign, trying to compete with, you know, Walmart, who buys 10 trillion Q-tips, you know, for a good price.
Listen, Toys R Us is not going to sleep. The one in Times Square, which is, they have a Ferris wheel in that Toys R Us in Times Square.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. Is that the one that we passed by and Elijah's going, like, I want to go there?
Yeah, it's right across from the ABC Dateline little building where all the...
It's kind of coincidental. Thing, let's build our store right across from where they have a live camera every day.
24 Smart, hours huh? a day. 24 hours a day till Christmas, they're going to remain open that store.
That's right, 3 o'clock in the morning. Go get your daddy bear. Let's go.
Wow. Isn't that crazy?
That is something. But I know I want to say to, you know, Toys R Us, you know, in Jersey, you know, mm-hmm. to Debbie and Sophia, who are holding the line and keeping the numbers straight. And it's just, we love you and just crank it up. We want to cheer up. We know you guys are working hard. This is when you move from being in the red financially, most industries, to being in the black. That's why a lot of times they call it Black Friday, because this is where the stores make their money. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people complain about that. You know, I could see some reason why, but the reality, think about it, that means they stayed open all year long for us. Just so they could be there for us in November so we could have a gift to give to someone. So that's a big, how many people will just stay open for and spend money in the red, you know, for 10 months, hire people and be all prepared for that one. You know, it's sort of like the church preparing for the coming of our Lord, isn't it?
Wow. Mm. Check that out.
Being prepared for that day. Well, I had a chance this weekend to hear Steve Harvey. And Steve Harvey was speaking on TBN, so of course I just stopped.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, and he was talking to, and he obviously knows how to get someone's attention, because he invited T.D. Jakes as his guest. Okay. And he goes, hello, and then T.D. took the next, you know, 30 minutes. And of course you can see, you know, Steve's almost, he's in tears trying to hold him back. Mm-hmm. And I'm an orator and a half. There's nobody that I've seen that can talk like, you know, T.D. Jakes. Mm. And he's becoming more and more real as his life progresses. We all do. We all become more and more honest as we get older. We're just too tired to kind of, you know, say, oh, well.
Here it is.
That's it. And he was talking about, T.D. was talking about, you know, Bishop Jakes or the Potter's House in Houston.
Dallas.
I mean, he said, you know, I was Twittering with the guys about a ball game. I guess it probably wasn't the Saints. And, of course, they're joking back and forth. And then somebody jumps on there and says, you could be witnessing to somebody right now. You know, and he said that they would, if you wouldn't be watching this ball game, you know, you could be out there doing this. He's talking about, you know, everybody has to, you know, it's not, it's God that stops people. It's people that stop themselves from going to that direction. We just share with them the good news. And so many people will keep, religious folk, and there's a lot of religion in America. Mm-hmm. There's so much religion that we almost think as a whole we're right when we are so wrong right now. Anyway, so collectively. And you got to breathe. You got to be able to, you know, go watch the Saints lose at least once a year. You know, you got to be able to be real. You know, you got to be able to just relax, let down both your hairs. And normally it's the rigor of religion or the most people that are watching you do the work, because they're doing the work with you. They're like, we need this time.
Yeah. Put on the game, man. Put on the game.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I so love about, you know, our crew with Gideon's Army, you know, the leaders across the country, that, you know, every year we get a chance to bring all of our leaders together and just hang out.
Yeah.
And God touches us every single year.
Every year.
And we're almost 30 days away from that. It's coming up soon. And I'm looking forward to that. I want to encourage you that if you are a leader and you're alone, you don't have to say anything. We pretty much know how you feel. or if you're alone, meaning other leaders are not around you, other people who are walking in the same area that you're walking in, I encourage you, you know, find somebody to relate to. Find people who are walking the same walk and experiencing the same, you know, you love God's people so much you want them to make it, but the reality is only God's going to empower them. So you're caught in between this time of intercession. Your whole life is this tension between the intercession of letting them know that God, you know, it's just this is stress, tension. And we're only human beings, so we got to take a break and just get together and encourage one another in the Lord. And and I think it was in Isaiah when he talks about there was a time I told you to rest and you didn't. And because you didn't, then my word to you became do and do, do and do, a little here, a little there, until you fell, until you were taken captive. And what happened was it wasn't the fact, there's a little bit more to that, but it wasn't the fact that that man or woman or that God's word changed and all of a sudden it got negative. You just get so worn out and you can get burned out where you begin to look at what's good. And because you can't physically respond to it anymore because you're just burnt out or worn out, you perceive it that way. But it's only because God said rest and you didn't. You know, or you didn't understand that context of that. And so I want to encourage you, find somebody to relate to. It's time to stop being alone. You can't go out and relate. There's no such thing as relating to tradition, you know. Of course I love you. Didn't you get my note in your box, you know? Or, you know, it's about just hanging out with a few, you know, imitating what Jesus did, you know. It's worth investing in finding somebody that will celebrate you, that will be there with you in difficult times, that cares about you in addition to your call on your life, and wants you to make it. You know, wants you to make it. Paul said, you know, I don't go out there. He says, listen, we're running a race. We're not like a boxer beating in the air. No, we're not. We're running for the prize here to win the race.
Right.
And he said, because of that, I beat my flesh and make it line up, because I don't want to be disqualified for the very prize that I'm telling other people about, and they're getting in. And people say, that couldn't be true. Well, let me tell you what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. He said, many people are going to be like that. He said, many are going to come to me in the last days. And they're going to say, Lord, Lord, did we not? And he starts listing different ministry actions. You're casting out devils, prophesying, and all these different things. And he's going to say, but I never knew you. So you can actually preach a gospel that other people believe and get saved and are with Jesus, and you can lose your way in this. And listen, if you are fighting on God's side, listen, and you're by yourself, you're getting that beat out of you. And I just want to encourage you this morning. It's not good for men to be alone. It's the very first thing God said. And it's not about getting married. It's about getting rightly related in the body of Christ. You know, we all together have the mind of Christ. We together can do this. And it's amazing how much easier it is. And in relationships, you have to take your time in relationships. You can't just automatically say, hey, let's have a little conference and let's all get together in some stadium that last night they had a rock and roll concert in, you know, and they were screaming and hollering and all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden in 5 seconds, you're going to, you know, get a relationship with somebody. You're going to have to invest in it. And it pays off. Listen, I'm telling you, this is what you're created for. You're designed for a relationship. And so, and you want to invest now because you're going to need it tomorrow. And if you don't have it now, and you do find a few other brothers, a few other sisters in the Lord that that will walk with you, remember that you're indebted to them. So you owe them something when you get through this time. Don't just walk away and walk away like they're a doctor and say thank you for fixing me. You know, stay in that relationship. You know, when you're the one giving. You know,
what did T.D. Jakes just say? He said, early on in his ministry, he said, I got everyone that was all messed up, and and I helped them and fixed them up and blessed them and taught them and trained them up. And then they got educated, knew something, and then they all left.
It's going to be a surprise to a lot of people, because the reason why Jesus says love each other is not some sort of penance. It's the fact that we're family. Because I want to be saved, I got to love somebody. It's like, no, because we're family. We're supposed to, that's our reward, is being the family of God. And that, you know, and the church is lovely and God is merciful towards us and the church's people and believers. And but you know, we're you know, where are we in this family paradigm? You know, where mm-hmm. are we in walking this walk with someone? And it's just so important. I like what and this is what I was talking about with Steve Harvey. He said, "Well, my dad," and he did really good because he said, "Listen, I don't know much. I'm like a couple hours old, and and TD's going like I see a seed in him. Mm-hmm. Y'all can't see it." And when he stepped away from the front of the people and let TD Jakes, you know, begin to present at the end, you know, to begin to talk to people about God, and he shared his testimony. It was very good. He used an analogy of he used to work with Ford Motor Company. And he was talking about how the blocks.
TD Steve, did or Steve?
Steve. And the Ford Motor Company builds their blocks and their cars out of scrap metal. Mm-hmm. And he, of course, used the analogy that, you know, God begins with a block built out of scrap metal, and that's who we all are. Mm-hmm. And for guys, it's really good to kind of see how this paradigm, even then God adds things to it and all this kind of stuff. But he said, this is what my dad told me, and this is what I want to say. This is what my dad told me when I was young. He said, son, he said that gazelles on the wilderness, they get up in the morning and they say to themselves, I have to run faster every day. I have to run faster than the lions today. Mm-hmm. For me to be able to survive. If I don't run faster, not just run, but run faster than the lions, mm-hmm. then I won't survive. And he says, in that same wilderness plain, a lion gets up every morning. And the lion says, I have to run faster than a gazelle today. Mm-hmm. I have to run faster than a gazelle today so that I can eat and I can survive. Mm-hmm. And of course, the tensions between life and itself, right? Mm-hmm. And so he said, his dad told him, so whatever you do, son, hit the ground running.
Wow. Mm.
That's so true, isn't it?
That's good.
And that's the design of God. Everybody, if we want a life like, is there some point that I'm not having to hit the ground running?
Hmm.
You know? And of course, if you have relationships with others and you're walking rightly related to the body of Christ, there's going to be times that you're able to pause, but somebody's running for you. You know what I'm saying? Hmm. It's not like there is no such thing as one gazelle laying down all by itself in the wilderness and taking a breath. That's a line they got up and like, dude, I can just walk today.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
I don't have to run because the gazelle's laying there. You know, Satan goes around like a roaring lion seeking mm-hmm. whom he may devour. But you still get tired. And so you're going to have to lay down at some point. You're going to have to pause at some point. Listen, I encourage you to, you know, build that relationship. And if you can't hit the ground running, and there's going to be days that you can't hit the ground running, you got to have a relationship with the body of Christ. Listen, Jesus said this. He said, if you say that you love me, and love is patient, kind, long-suffering, if you have these feelings towards God, but you don't love your brother, he said, you know, you're a liar. He says, you cannot have a relationship with me, with God. John's saying this. Mm-hmm. You cannot have a relationship with God, not John Ramos, but the disciple John. You cannot have a relationship with God who you can't see when you can't. You can't love a God that you can't see when you can't love a man that you can see.
Right? Uh-huh.
And it's so important. And that's where I think we're really faltering. And I'll be talking hopefully more about this, you know, in the days to come. But, you know, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, everybody jumps to sexual things. And the reason why is because we're so bound sexually in our nation now. But there's the biggest sin of it was complacency and a lack of concern, gluttony and the over and unconcerned with people who had none.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's America.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people starving. There's just like, oh man, I really want to do something, you know, that we began. And we already, you know, obviously we're reaching out to with Exodus Cry, you know, helping the children and the ladies get free from sex trafficking. you know, across the world. And today's the biggest day of slavery in the history of the world. We're reaching out to Avi Mizrahi and Israel. I mean, we have a lot of different things we're reaching out to. But I would love, you know, as we mature and our, you know, you stand with us, that, you know, we begin to really do a significant thing for, we're not going to, let's don't be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's say, you know what, we're not going to keep just feeding our mouths and not feed somebody. So, you know, obviously, you know, we reach out to the hungry and the homeless and the ones needing clothes and shelter in America. But there's so many in the world. We're only like 5% of the population who are trying to live off, you know, maybe if they're doing well, $2 a month. And I just really want to see that, just so that we can be not only on the right side of history, but just that's, it's hard. It's can you imagine how difficult it was, you know, for, to minister in Sodom and Gomorrah? Like, no, we're not talking about that right now. No. And they don't think anything's wrong. They don't think what they're doing is wrong. They don't think they're unconcerned about people that are suffering is a big deal with God. They don't think that their abundance, when there's so much lack in the world, means anything to God on his scales of justice, when they're only hours away from being destroyed. It's hours. And even he goes down and begins to even look. God sends somebody down there and says, you know, go through the town. Maybe you can find somebody. And the thing about it is, you still want to remain faithful to God. And that's what I'm talking about. It's going to be, these are days, you know, that just like Steve Harvey's dad told him, you know, you got to hit the ground running. And it's not necessarily, we're not talking about physically running, although at times you may have to. It looks like those days are coming soon. But just hit the ground running and abiding with God. I mean, when you hit the ground in the morning time and you spend time with God, and if you don't know how to abide with him, we got a good plan for you at iabide.org. I mean, you're hitting the ground running when you say, you know, I'm going to spend time with God no matter what happens. I'm preparing myself for my day now, my spiritual energy level, getting wisdom from God. And that's a way of hitting the ground running. And then, you know, praying for, and it's part of abiding, but praying for other people. You know, praying for what's going on and listen to what God is saying to you. I just want to encourage you this Monday that to let you know that God is with you. God's got a plan for your life. If what you're looking at one day used to go, man, this is so exciting and I so enjoy the things of God, and God is so good and he's blessed me so, and all of a sudden you're looking at the very same thing, but you're getting a negative emotion out of it. It's just you're tired. It's just you're worn out. It's not that God has changed. It's that you're just a human being. And you're going to have to pause for a little bit. I encourage you to turn off all your digital stuff, you know, all your visual stuff, and just pause. Go out and look at the mountains, or go to the park if you're in New York, or, you know, go out to some of the plains if you're, you know, in the middle of the country. Go to the mountains if you're in Denver. You know, go to the oceans or the Gulf if you're on the Gulf Coast, or whatever it is. I mean, just pause for a little bit, and because we're going to be talking about some things coming up, and you need to regain your composure because something's about to happen, I believe, dramatically in the world, and you need to not be looking at what's good, and because you're fatigued, you're calling it bad. Or walking with God, which was such a joy at one time, all of a sudden it becomes a little here, a little there, do and do and do and do. And he says, it's because I told you to rest and you wouldn't. So if I got a word for you this week, is, and this is a perfect time. I mean, you're on all these different reasons that you can pause off of work and do different things. You can pause and just, you know, don't run 10,000 Christmas parties and all that. Just find a way to find rest in the awesome month that we celebrate the Lord who gave us rest in God. You know, and he says, those that don't even enter into this rest can't even enter into the kingdom of God. And just want to encourage you, don't, the hecticness of shopping and all these different things people do and spending money they don't have to buy gifts for people who don't care, who, you know, it's just crazy. It's trying to buy love. And listen, if they don't love you now, and if they love you all of a sudden because you gave them something, they don't love you. They love what you did. And this happened to Jesus. You know, Jesus healed everybody, came in contact with them. He delivered them. He loved on them. But then he says, okay, that was all the gift-giving times. He says, now, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, And then the ones who loved him stayed.
Right.
And it was a huge crowd, but how many was left behind? 12, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
12. And so it's okay. I mean, just be careful. You know, stay within your means. I want to encourage you. We need to make available on VFN TV, restoring the purity of giving.
Yes.
Restoring the purity of giving. Because it's because the enemy, because we have people who are driven by, we have children quite often that are running parents, you know, demanding, and they're just children, the youthful lust about running things and stuff and whatever. And they're making these demands and their parents love them. And they start thinking, oh, I got to get them this. I got to get her this. This thing is like, they don't understand that you don't have the money and you don't need to borrow that. You don't need to go borrow money, and it won't be their fault. And you can't explain it to them. You just have to look at your children and say, you know, restoring the purity of giving will really help you out, because it'll give you perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It'll give you perspective on what you need to do. Before you start shopping, I encourage you to go to VFN TV and watch Restoring the Purity of Giving. We'll be right back.
You know, you might be listening to the VFN radio right now and begin to hear what God's doing and how God has touched other people's lives. And then you might be asking yourself, you know, can God really use me? And you might be taking an account and looking back and what you've done in your life and think that God can't. Well, I want to encourage you that you can read stories and read through the transition of how God encountered other people's lives and look into to see what God did. I want to encourage you to read and check out meetmyfather.org. And on the right-hand side of that, you'll see read other testimonies, read other stories, and you can see how God used people just like you to draw people to himself. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. You know, John, I think about the goodness of Jesus Christ. When I hear about the joy and the goodness and the life and the celebration that I read in the Word of God that Jesus talks about, you know, when I hear about religion and I read the Word of God and I hear man's religion, then I hear Jesus, there's a big difference. And I hear about what Jesus is saying, and it's just like, I want to know the Jesus that Jesus talks about. I want the joy that Jesus talks about. And if you're ever wondering, how do I get that joy? How do I get that goodness, that life, that happiness that Jesus talks about? I want to encourage you. You can get that relationship. You can get that daily joy through abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Go to iabide.org. Jesus Christ has love and he's got joy specifically for you. iabide.org.
Steve, all the time people tell me they want so much more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they love the VFN radio program. They love the 24-hour loop. But did you know that what's available to them now on VFNTV.com is the opportunity to be a subscriber?
Awesome.
When they subscribe, they get access to so much more. You have more content, more information, and more things that will encourage you, will bring enlightenment and education. Be a subscriber. It's absolutely free. It doesn't cost you a thing. You can go to VFNTV.com and subscribe now.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on Fill the Stadium Now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on Giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio's first hour. I was talking in the beginning about, you know, being prepared for what's about to take place. We talked prophetically quite often about some things that are taking place, but it's happening so quickly. I wanted to make sure that I want to encourage you to get your rest. If you haven't heard the first part of the first hour, don't, you know, sit there and listen to every single newscast. What we're trying to do is give you not only the news, but, you know, God's perspective of the news. Mm-hmm. In other words, If you're playing a football game and you're just going back to the huddle to find out what you need to do next, not so that you can just know something. Mm-hmm. If all you're doing is just gathering information and doing nothing with you, it's destroying you. It's causing you to implode inside of you. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the United Nations just made that ruling that you know, the Palestinians in the West Bank are an observer state. Which, first of all, of course, that means, you can go back and listen to, I guess, last Fridays. Friday. Yeah. That, and I think it's titled, Is This Good? By the way, the answer is no, it's not. And, right. That, they weren't a state in the first place, but of course, as soon as the president goes back and the USA Today reports, today that, the West Bank, the Palestinian president returns triumphantly to the West Bank on Sunday, receiving a boisterous welcome by thousands of cheering supporters at a rally celebrating the people's new acceptance to the United Nations.
Wow. Mm.
And he tells them all that we're a state, you know. Isn't that crazy? We're a state. And then he immediately goes into and says, and I want to start working on our relationship with the Hamas and start mending things with the Hamas. And Hamas are the ones who were just shooting all the in Gaza, who were just shooting missiles in. And in addition to that, you know, the Palestinians say, you know, that he projected, and not this particular article, but he also projected, the president of the Palestinians said that there will be a Palestinian boy in the future that gets to raise the Palestinian flag over our capital in Jerusalem. In other words, their capital being Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. You know, Benjamin Netanyahu and the government in their own country are building apartments or houses or whatever now in Jerusalem, their capital.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, world leaders, France and others, are beginning to listen. Get some rest. I don't know how much time you have. I'm serious. You know, get your rest. Get the heck out of religion and get in a relationship with God and find a few other people that know and love God, and get up under a shepherd. And wherever you are, go find out his name. Find out about her life. You know, spend time at their house. Just find out who they are, because you want them to know you. You don't want to be you remember that meeting? We had that meeting that once, and the person's talking about, yeah, I love you. I love you. And then, like, I was joking around, but it's like, I'm not even in your database. Remember that?
Yeah.
I'm not even, it was, you know, just joking around, because obviously it was not true. We have a thing we call love today, but love's not. I mean, listen, if you're not in their database, I mean, come on now. Yeah. Everybody's in their database. Whoever's database, you're in it. Come on. But love is more than database. But if you haven't even made it, if you haven't even made it to the entry level of a database in somebody's heart, you know what I'm saying? It's like, come on.
Friends on Facebook.
Right. It was so funny. But listen, that's dangerous, because that particular person's giving you an idea that they care about you, and they're going to be there for you. And it's not necessarily that they wouldn't. That's not in their heart. That's not in their heart. It doesn't mean that. It just means that they're not going to be able to, because you don't even know each other.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, you know, you need to know each other. It's not wrong for you to go to your shepherd, whoever your pastor is, and to say, listen, I want to know you. And can I meet with you? Let's talk. Let's get some coffee. They say, listen, you know, I'm way too busy to meet with you. You know, and that's understandable. You know, you can say, you know, do you have another time that we can meet? Mm-hmm. And then they say, well, really, why don't you get with my secretary? You know, mm-hmm. And it's like, okay. Then you go look at the secretary and find out if they've been anointed by God to help you, and the crisis is about to hit. And there's some secretaries that are. I mean, they have an anointing on their life, and that's the one you probably should meet with anyway. Mm-hmm. And, But if they send you to your secretary, that's a sign. And God loves you. God will send, he will warn, he will let us know prophetically what's about to happen. And we just don't believe it. When we mentioned deception, you know, most people, because we've so skewed the gospel in America, think somebody deceiving them in a contract for business or something, or, you know, having some clause, you know, in some contract that gets them, or, you know, that's how they think of deception. But listen, there is evil deception, has always been, will always be. And we have to understand that a deceiver does this. You know, Proverbs calls it like a silver-coated lip. We have a segment, you know, in Wisdom Moments. You can find it. It's called Silver-Coated Lips. And it is, it's real. You know, Satan's real. He's seeking whom he may devour. But you have to understand deception. Deception is what you think you're doing is right is when you're dead wrong. It's Proverbs 26:23 says, like a coating of glaze over earthenware are fervent lips with an evil heart. And everybody is a friend of a man who gives gifts. No, that's what God also says, word says. You have to understand everybody's going to be like the person who's given them something. And it's so that's carnal nature. Then what do you do if you want to control people? You just start giving them stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what Hitler did. You know, that's what they did. That's what even some of our leaders in America did when they pushed the First Nation people to the West. They started giving their houses away and people didn't complain. When they were pushing the Jews in Germany to ghetto housing and that they were giving their stuff away to the people.
Yeah.
And people weren't complaining. Listen, you got to get over stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get over the stuff and say, listen, even if it doesn't work out, I'm not going to leave God. I'm going to stick with God. And the deceiver will deceive. He or she, Satan speaking through that person's got their tongue held captive. But deception is so strong right now that many people are not even paying attention to clear truth, right? It's like a bright halogen light shining in our faces.
Mm-hmm.
The very fact that Israel's building houses in Jerusalem, they're saying what the church in America should have been saying, you know, leave us alone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the world is massing against them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's fixing to be, it's not going to be good. A news reporter said early this morning, you know, everybody's talking about the physical cliff coming up, said, listen, the cliff is what's happening in the Middle East right now. That is about to go all over the place.
Right.
Yeah.
And as we say, ever how goes Israel, you know, so goes the church.
Right.
That alone out of narcissists should make people want to pay attention. But, you know, get your rest for this. And so the deceiver, so deception is this, is that people are going to tell you everything's okay up until the last moment. To be deceived is what you think what you're doing is right when you're dead wrong.
Right.
That's deception. And so many people will be deceived. The deceiver will come. Well, you can choose not to be deceived by making Jesus the Lord of your life and following him and abiding in his word, abiding with him and hanging out with people who are hanging out with Jesus. I mean, you're going to need that. And, but, you know, Paul talks about it, I believe, or I think it's maybe... Yeah, Paul's talking to, you know, Titus about the these deceivers that are going on and, you know, what they're doing. And they're mere talkers. Also, John is talking about it as well. You know, in the last days, many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have come and are coming amongst us. And I mean, Islam in itself is that, you know. That they don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. But this battle is happening. This prophetic battle is taking place right now. And while, and it's understanding all these players, these human beings are in it, the people that have surrendered themselves over to the adversary, even though they might not like each other, they're moving in the same choir, under the same song led by Lucifer, you know? And it's going to have the same lyrics that says, you know, do away with Israel. And what America right now is being deceived and just given more stuff and more stuff, and everybody's caught up in that. You know, get what you can while you can, because and while that's going on, Israel's being surrounded by a caliphate. Our America just said if Syria uses chemical weapons, we're going in. Hello, clue, and that whole caliphate, the Islamic. Nations surrounding Israel's that France is United Europe's turning against. I was like, oh my goodness,
catch a clue, right?
Catch a clue. And although you know our president seemingly reluctantly has said that he's for Israel, everything that he's done, you know, the majority of everything he's done has caused all this conflict that's happening. So you got to say, you know, it's not what you're saying that's bothering me; it's what you're doing that's bothering Israel. That and so America's like, hey, you know, how about some of this? You want some of this? How about some of that? They're just giving stuff away, and everybody's all of a sudden these friends with these different organizations, you know, these government organizations, and this great deception. And it's going to end not well. It's just not going to end well. And unless we just stop. And either way, no matter what happens in the world, the church will stand. But the church is living in America in a blessed land right now.
Mm-hmm. Very blessed.
It's totally different when you're in Haiti and before you eat, you have to hit the table so that the color of the table you thought it was can fly away. And then you can sit down and eat because the table's every square inch of the every square quarter inch is covered with flies. You know, I mean, we're just blessed.
Right.
And you just can't keep living like this. And so I just see deception. It's just like that storm that's gathering, you know, around us. And if you haven't listened to SOS, the Tell of Two Kings on VFN TV or watched it, you need to go to VFN TV and watch it at VFNTV.com. But it's just crescendoing now where we're coming to this physical cliff. Everybody's thinking about the physical cliff. It's like a thorn in our toe compared to what's really going on in the world, but everybody's focused on it. And it's like, we're already hanging over this cliff as a whole, you know, and that's minor compared to what's about to happen. And the deceiver wants to destroy Israel, wants to destroy the church. They're working overtime. Cottondale Elementary School in Florida. Elementary school puts up a manger scene. And just, I believe, last week, and they come in there. One person doesn't like it in the community, and they sue the school to take it down. It's like, we just need to make America just one big manger scene. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
But it's like, but the whole thing is that do we bow down to that? And the community's fighting to keep it up. But understand, it's like, this is not a good thing. And it's like, where is the church? You know, where is God's people? Is there not a cause?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there not a cause? And you think about David at the times of David, that when he was just doing what he did and loved God, spending time with God and being faithful to his father, tending a small flock, he began to go take his brothers some food who were fighting against Goliath and all the armies there. And he got there to be able to bring some food because his father told him to bring some food. And he finds out an entire nation is hiding behind rocks, including his brothers. And it was armies, but of course you had Goliath, this huge giant of a man.
Mm-hmm.
And but it is possible for a whole nation of God's people in a whole nation to be hiding behind something. They're terrified. I can see why. I mean, if you're not abiding, you know, if your job's your God,
that's right.
You know, and if you're on the board at some big, huge monstrosity and you're seeing like, how are we going to keep these doors open? And then they're looking to you to do it.
I can totally see that.
But David wasn't caught up in all that.
Mm-mm.
David was just out in the wilderness, tending the sheep, spending time with God, you know, playing his guitar or whatever, a stringed instrument, and worshiping God. That was it. How could all these people in this nation who love God be terrified and hiding while this young boy who just has integrity and just doing what's right before God don't even really know what's going on? And so he just happens to mosey up. I mean, life's going on for him. He's just being faithful where he's at. And he shows up, and when he shows up to bring them some food, he observes by just looking, going like, what the heck's going on here?
Yeah.
Is every one of God's people in this nation hiding behind a rock while this giant, these Philistines, this uncircumcised Philistines coming against the armies of the Lord? What's going on? Where are the men and women of God? What's happening here?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. You can imagine, of course, his brothers begin to go, go back. What are you doing? And they begin to ridicule him and talk about his numbers, what his numbers are running. You know, I was like, really? You're hiding behind the rock. Yeah, you're hiding behind the stucco. Listen. We got to get out here and begin to fight a good fight of faith. We can. God is just a God of mercy and beginning again, and he's also a God of sternness. And if we don't do this, it's going to be tough. But he just loves. He wants us to repent. He wants us to turn to him, and that's not doing what we've been doing, continuing to do it, and just say we're sorry. It's literally stop doing what we've been doing.
Right.
And so David looks at them hiding. This is Israel, so it's all of God's people in this nation hiding behind rocks. David don't even know what's going on. He's surprised to find out they're hiding from the Philistines. And it was in Philistines. When you hear about Philistines, think about your flesh and what you want, and you know, all these demands on your life and different things going on. But then he just says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Because this giant was making all these threats to come against the armies of the Lord. And just by him saying that, just threw everybody off and made them look horrific. So they responded by evil statements. They had to put David down, because they didn't put David down, then what he said would stand in the ears and the eyes of those that are around them and causing people to look at them for what they really are, what they're really doing. Loved by God, but, you know, hiding behind rocks. And, but David, he's like, can I even talk? I mean, look what's going on. It's like, look what's going on here. I mean, come on. He comes back and has another statement about it. And then finally, Saul, people hear about what's going on. And of course, imagine that all these people, you know, are with all their tools and all their stuff and all their equipment, you know, can't do it because of their lack of courage. And of course, not walking tightly with God will do it. Sin makes cowards of believers.
Sure does.
So understand that if you feel like a coward, it's because you've been in sin. But if you'll repent of that sin and you'll be forthright and be honest and do what's right, you'll be surprised that God will put a spirit of boldness on you. You know, but be authentic. But you can be bold again. You know, you get around a group of about 10,000 men, and they look to one man and goes, why don't you pray? He's like, are all of you in sin? He's like, oh my goodness. And so he goes, and Saul says, hey man, it gets the king. Saul takes David in. You know, King Saul was king over the armies hiding behind the rocks, and now he wants to be king over the shepherd boy who just is just shocked at what's going on. And so he says, okay, we'll try you. Everything else didn't work. We'll try this. Why not? And so they start trying to put, Saul tries to put his armor on David. David's so used to just working with, you know, a staff and a slingshot, you know, and a few rocks. And he's been faithful where he was. He's killed the lion and he's killed the bear. And those processes in our life make us strong for what we have to face. If you keep trying to run away from the lion and start running away from the bear, but you're talking about giants all the time, you're just, you know, it ain't gonna work. And believe me, there's enough lions and bears to fight to build your strength up for the giants. You know, and so he tries to put that stuff on him, all this armor and equipment. And then David says, listen, this stuff just doesn't work. I can't wear this. I'm not used to it. I'm going to have to take what I got, you know, what I've already learned, what God did with me and through me. And he took his slingshot. You know, what's going to happen is that, you know, this is important, because we've gotten this condition because what we've been doing hasn't been working.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, when you see something happening that, you know, you say, is there not a cause? And you begin to stand up, and the favor of God comes upon you, and you're beginning to confront not God's people, you're confronting the devil, the Goliath, that they're going to want to put stuff on you that wasn't even working for them. You know, I got you a little office set up right over here. I got you, you know, we'll put you on the payroll here. I tell you what, we'll let you sing here. Well, you know, we'll put you on the front row here. They'll try to wrap some stuff around you that's not even working for them, and that they're too terrified to put on and go out and fight the war. Don't do that. You know, that the battle is the Lord's, and we have to just march out against it, understanding that God's not pleased with, you know, things coming against his people the way they are. And so he goes out there and takes one rock while everybody's hiding behind all them rocks. He takes one small rock and yells out, you know, we're going to come out against you. And, and Goliath says, hey, you know, send him out. Send him out.
Famous last words.
Send him out. This is the cool part. It's all cool, but this is the cool part. David ran out there. He ran out there. Where everybody feared to go, feared to tread, David ran. David ran. And not with the armor, but he ran with the rocks and a slingshot. But he did it with a cause. There was a cause. There was a reason. There's a reason. He was shocked that all of God's people were in captivity. And then he takes that slingshot, puts that one rock in it, and begins to swing it around. And he lets that rock go. Just like he always did. And God takes the rock and he directs it through the air. This huge, oh, 9 foot tall giant, whatever he was. And drives that rock right in the center of that man's head. Mm-hmm. And drops what all of God's people who were held captive and terrified could not do. God directed one rock and took it down. This is what he said. David said, "Is there not a cause?" Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those that are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.